Amen. Praise God. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Daniel, it's a great joy to be able to serve the church in Intake, Harvest Fields Church, and to be able to be part of what God is doing in Doncaster. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Please, Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 1 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to give you some time to get to that scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Great stuff. I'm going to read it out. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I love that. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now more than ever, it's so important for each and every one of us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith.
Amen.
Because faith is having confidence as well as giving substance to the things hoped for, and is also evidence of things not seen. See, there is only one foundation for faith. It is the Word of God.
Yeah.
The only one foundation for faith, the living Word. And as we become one with the Word, the faith, as we become one with the Word, then faith becomes an unconscious reality.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is, you will never think of your faith the same way. Automatically, if we have our needs, we bring it before God, and automatically we will see the hand of God fulfilling and completing our need. You see, faith is actually grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing it into the realm of reality. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Faith is grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. A few weeks ago, when we looked at the study on faith, we looked at two kinds of faith. We looked at natural faith, then we looked at supernatural faith. Natural faith in the sense of five senses: see, hear, touch, feel, all that sort of things that we see with our natural eyes, all that thing that we believe with our natural conscience, them sort of things were linked in with natural faith. But however, the Bible talks about a different type of faith. Bible talks about supernatural faith. The faith where naturally, when we look at it, it will seem impossible, but with God, it is possible.
Yeah.
Okay? To walk in the supernatural move of God, we need to have supernatural faith. Let me say that again. To walk in the supernatural move of God, in the supernatural realm of God, we have to walk in supernatural faith. We need supernatural faith. Faith, the Bible talks about faith as seen in the book of Acts. See, we have different phases of faith, even, and it's seen in the Bible. And E.W. Kenyon, he's got a wonderful book called Two Kinds of Faith, and he explains it wonderfully in his book as well. And the first faith is called creative faith, okay? Faith that creates. There are three great words that we see again and again in the first chapter of Genesis. Okay, let there be.
Yeah, yeah.
God speaks, let there be. And as he's saying, let there be, God is speaking the world into being. And we still have been given the same faith, this same authority. The Bible reminds us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, you don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, it's Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
Yeah.
Amen? This is about God filling us with his Spirit. This is about God filling us with the life that he wants us to live. Amen? Faith is not about what I can do. Faith is not about what we can do. Faith is all about what God can do. Amen? That's what it's all about. Faith is all about what God can do. And when God spoke the world into being, when he said, let there be light, there was light. See, there was that powerful thing when God spoke. And likewise, the same authority has been given to each and every one of us. Our words have power to create. And the question is, what are we creating today? What are we creating today? What are we speaking into being today? The second faith is dominating faith. Faith that rules circumstances.
Amen.
Okay? Faith that rules circumstances. There's a story, there's an account in the Bible, I love it dearly, found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. This is when Jesus and disciples are going to the other side, okay? And they're in this boat. And when they're in this boat, Jesus falls asleep and there's a ferocious storm. And the storm almost sweeps over the boat and Jesus is sleeping. And the disciples, they're panicking. They're thinking, hold on, what's going on, Jesus? We're about to drown. Wake up, Jesus. And Jesus is having a nap. So the disciples, panicking, cries out to Jesus saying, Jesus, save us. We're about to drown. And I love this passage found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 25. It says, the disciples went and woke him. Okay, they weren't just panicking, but they were really serious about it. So they actually woke Jesus up saying, Lord, save us. We're about to drown. And I love this, you know, because Jesus, because the disciples recognized Jesus as their Lord. Disciples, they see something in Jesus. They know the authority that Jesus carries. They know the authority that God has given to Jesus. So that's why the disciples are crying out to Jesus saying, Lord, save us. And Jesus replies, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? I mean, that's crazy, really, isn't it? I mean, if I was in that boat and if I was, like, facing that type of storm, I'd be panicking too. I would have said to Jesus, Jesus, come on, do something. We're all about to drown. Do something. And imagine Jesus looking at you and saying to you of little faith. You'd think, hold on, Jesus, what's going on? But that's what Jesus says to his disciples. You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, the Bible says, and rebuked the winds.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus got up and he rebuked, first and foremost, he rebuked the winds and the waves. And it was completely calm. What are the storms in your life today? What are the storms in our lives today? We have to recognize where it's coming from. And when we recognize where it's coming from, then we understand what needs to be rebuilt. Most of the time we go through our lives, don't we? And we think, hold on, this is just part of my life. This is just part of my cross. I need to carry this. I need to bear it. This is just part of the gospel, the crucifixion life. They're all true. I'm not saying they're not true. They're all true. But at the same time, we need to understand and realize the authority that Jesus has given us. Jesus, on the day of his ascension, he looked at his disciples and said, he gave his disciples the authority to go and to make disciples of all nations. But not only that, but he gave them authority to raise people from the dead. He gave them the authority to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. He gave them the authority to make the impossible possible.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize the authority, and we have to understand that the faith that God has given us is not just faith for us to be happy and cheerful, but it is that faith that is given us where we can use that faith to rule and to reign.
Amen.
We have to understand that. Any type of sickness, we think, oh, it's just part of me, I'm going to live with it. No, we have to rebuke that sickness in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We have to rebuke that sickness in the name of Jesus because we are called to reign and to rule. Okay? And the other faith is also part of the faith thing, and it's religious faith, okay? And I call this a natural faith. This is the type of faith we see in the churches today, really. The faith that tells us all the good things that we need to know about the Bible, the faith that teaches us we have to do the good things, we have to live righteously, we have to follow all the rules that are mentioned in the Bible. And they're all good stuff, but sadly, what that does is that limits the move of the Spirit in some ways. What I mean by that is we have this structure of routine and system of how the meetings should run, even in the church realm.
Yeah.
We have this time set where we say, oh, you have to finish your preaching within 20 minutes. You have to finish the service within an hour. This is the time slot. And whatever happens, you know, don't go past this time slot. Whatever it is, finish your program within this time slot. And it's good to have all the routines. It's good to have all the system running in place. But sometimes we don't realize that God is wanting to do something in our services. Sometimes we don't realize that God wants to move powerfully in our services.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we sense the move of the Spirit, we have to trust in God and we have to let the Holy Spirit complete the work that He wants to do.
Amen.
We have to begin to bring ourselves to that place of solitude and silence and hand everything over to God.
Yeah.
But sadly, when we look in the Bible, we see there was a religious group, a religious sector. They were called the Pharisees. You know, they were very zealous about their traditions. They were very zealous about the history of the time. And they were very zealous about the religious text as well. And in their heads and in their surroundings, they thought they were doing the right stuff. And to be honest, they were doing the right things. But when Jesus was about to do something supernatural with which the people had never witnessed in that time, they were shocked. And they began to question, is this really from God? And sometimes when we don't fully let God do that work in us, we question a lot of things. And in our Christian journey, this is all about unlearning and relearning new things. And in our faith, I believe, when it comes to learning things from the Spirit, that is the area when it's emphasized the most.
Amen.
We have got all the intellectual things that we need right now. A lot of youngsters these days are very clever. You ask them a question, they'll get their phones out and they'll look for it, Google, or whatever you can find it, or even Siri or Alexa, you know, and It's just a click a button away, but they won't completely change our lives. They won't completely transform our lives. It is only things of the Spirit that will completely help us to understand and see the world in different perspectives.
Amen.
You see, gospel isn't a new idea. Faith is not a new idea. Faith is God's idea. Faith is the move of the Spirit. Faith is all about what God wants to do in our lives. And faith is all about what God is about to do in our lives.
Amen.
And that's what we have to change our understanding from religious faith to supernatural faith. Amen.
Amen.
The other faith is also found in a lot of churches these days. And this faith is called experiential faith. Faith in experience, okay? And this one always looks for signs and feelings. For example, I don't feel the presence of God. That's why God is not in this place. I don't feel goosebumps. That's why I don't feel like worshipping today. And sadly, this happens a lot. And can I just say, we have to move past the realm of feelings. We have to move past the realm of emotions. And we have to step into this new realm called supernatural realm where we begin to know and understand that God is already in the midst of us.
Yeah.
God is already here.
Amen.
The presence of God is already here. We cannot run away from His presence. David puts it wonderfully in the Psalms, God, where can I hide from you?
Mm.
I cannot hide from you. And that just brings us to understand that God is present everywhere.
Yeah.
God is present in the times of trouble.
Yeah.
God is present in the times of grief.
Yeah.
God is present in the time of sorrow.
Amen.
God is present even when we don't sense Him, even when we don't feel Him, even when we don't see Him. God is there present, watching over you, watching over each and every one of us.
Mm.
And we have to move past this phase of emotion.
Amen.
And we need to step into the supernatural faith. And the faith that God wants us to be in terms of faith is supernatural faith.
Mm-hmm.
You see, supernatural faith, as mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. We read that verse of scripture in Hebrews 12. But Hebrews 12 is incomplete without Hebrews 11.
Yeah.
See, Hebrews 12 starts with saying we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And who are these witnesses? They're found in Hebrews chapter 11. You see, let's have a look at it. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And it starts by saying, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command. You see that creative faith right there? At God's command. He spoke the world into being. He spoke the universe into being. Okay? And it says in verse 4, by faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith Abel still speaks even though he is dead. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him. Now that's supernatural right there.
Yeah.
Because he was taken. Okay? And when we God had taken him, and before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And I love this passage, this verse. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please God.
Yeah.
Without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who hears anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yeah.
The scripture is very clear there. Firstly, we have to believe that God exists.
Yeah.
We have to believe that his promises are true for each and every one of us. And secondly, we have to believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yeah.
And if we earnestly seek him, we have to believe that he is going to bless each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's faith. Even though he did not know where he was going, he went. You see, faith. Firstly, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Let me say that again. Firstly, faith comes by hearing the word of God. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 and 8, we see Noah. He heard God. And verse 8, Abraham also heard the voice of God. They both heard the word of God. And they heard, because they heard the voice of God, they obeyed the voice of God. They obeyed the Lord. And you see, for each and every one of us, we all have faith, okay? But we have to increase our faith.
Amen.
And how do we increase our faith? Firstly, we increase our faith by hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. Hearing the word of God. The scripture reminds us again and again that the faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Firstly, we have to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to be ready. We have to position ourselves so that we can receive from the Lord.
Mm.
And the only way we'll be able to do that is by setting a time. Setting ourselves some time where we spend some time with the Lord. See, we're living in a very rushful world at the moment. Everybody's rushing. We're with the family and everybody's talking, but we don't make time where we silence ourselves. We don't make time where we become silent before the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, speak to me. So the Bible clearly says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And how can we hear the Word of God? How can we prepare ourselves to hear the Word of God? First thing I want to suggest is each and every one of us, we're busy. I understand that, yes. But also we have to make time where we hear the Word of God constantly. We have loads of great messages on our Facebook page and also on our website. We can access all these messages from internet and we can begin to listen to them. And what they do is, after you listen to a message over and over again, all of a sudden it does something to us internally. And when it does something to us internally, that increases our faith outwardly. See, the reason we lack faith is because there is lack of the Word of God inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we begin to fill the tank, as soon as we begin to fill the inside man, the spirit man, then we see faith at work on the outside.
Yeah.
The reason why our confessions are so negative, the reason why our confessions are lacking faith is not because we have less faith. It's because we haven't been hearing the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we haven't been filling our tanks. We have to make time where we listen to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have great resources, like I said, online, Facebook. We can find great messages there. Let's begin to listen to these messages over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we can increase our faith by worshiping. Mm-hmm. Worshiping the Lord. We're here right now, and every time we talk about worship, we always associate it with songs. Worship is different, and singing songs is different. Yes, we have songs that help us to worship, but when we sing in them verses, we're not just singing a song, we're singing to our Savior.
Mm.
We're worshiping our Lord. We're saying to Jesus, Jesus, we thank you. We love you. And every time when we're worshiping, it's not just bottom up. It's not just from us to God. And whenever we're worshiping, the heavens are opening for each and every one of us. Whenever we worship, the door of heaven open up for us and we see the blessings of God. We see the supernatural of God resonating in each and every one of
Amen.
Us. So the great way of overcoming depression is to worship.
Yeah.
The great way and the best way of overcoming suicidal thoughts is worship.
Amen.
The best and amazing way of getting rid of all our downcast spirit is worship.
Yeah.
When we're downcast, that is the time for us to worship. Yeah. When we're feeling low, that is the time for me to worship. When all the negative thoughts are bombarding my mind, that's the time I say, enough is enough. I'm going to worship
yeah.
the Lord because I'm not going to let anything
yeah.
pull me down. I'm not going to let any emotions drag me down. No, it's not happening. I'm worshiping the Lord because I'm called to worship Him.
Hallelujah.
And when the Word of God resonates within me, all of a sudden my hands will go up in worship because I have more Word in me
yeah.
than the negative words of the world.
Amen.
We have to begin to worship. Reading out loud scriptures. See, whenever I used to do devotions, I used to read it very silently. I used to look at my Word and I just used to meditate on the Word. But now and again, what I do is I read my scriptures out loud. And the reason why I do that is I've noticed every time I'm reading the scriptures out loud, I'm declaring the Word of God.
Yeah.
I'm not just receiving it, but I'm declaring it at the same time.
Yeah.
And when I'm declaring it, I'm feeding it to myself at the same time. I don't know how it works, but it's amazing. You declare it and you feed it at the same time.
Yeah.
It's powerful. And
Amen.
And I want to encourage each and every one of us. You know, let's just begin to read our scriptures in each of us lives.
Mm.
Let's just begin to declare scriptures in each and every one of us lives.
Mm.
In the future, as most of you guys are already aware, we're expecting our first child. And, you know, this, as I was preparing this message, God just, I just felt God say to me, you know, when you raising a child, even when he's at a very young age, and even when he can't understand most of the things you say to him, begin to quote the scriptures, begin to declare scriptures over him. Because even though in the natural we think, oh, nothing's happening, but in the supernatural something is happening. In the spiritual realm, something is happening. So we're speaking into his spirit. That's what we're doing. And even though we don't see it in the natural, it's renewing each and every one of us in the spiritual. See, faith starts in the spiritual and transforms and changes the natural. Hearing the word of God will change our confession. It will change our confession. Have you noticed, like, when you hear some new songs on the radio, you hear it once and it doesn't really make the effect. But when you hear it over and over and over again, and all of a sudden you begin to sing the same song, you don't even realize that you're singing it. And it's the same with the word of God. When you hear the word of God over and over and over again, you don't notice, but it makes such an impact on your spirituality that you begin to declare the word of God automatically. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And secondly, so firstly, faith comes by hearing the word of God. We have to be hearers of the word of God.
Yeah.
Abraham, he was a hearer of the word of God. Noah, he was a hearer of the word of God. When they heard God speak to them, they both acted. We're going to get to that bit, but they heard the voice of God, both of them, okay? And secondly, faith comes by trusting in the word of God. Faith comes by trusting in the word of God. Faith is taking the first step even when we don't see the staircase. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. said. Faith is taking the first step even when we don't see the whole staircase. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. See what it did? He obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. See, Abraham did not know what the future held for him. But he was given a promise that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars. See, what I love the most about him is he obeyed and he went. And same with disciples. When they first encountered Jesus, Jesus said to them, follow me. And they all followed him. See, for us to follow something, we have to trust. Okay, so I follow God because I trust him. See, Andrew's my leader, so and he's also my spiritual father. So when he gives me some advice, the reason I follow his advice is not because I see him as my leader. It's not because I see him as my spiritual father. The reason I follow his advice is because I trust him. Because I have full trust placed in him. Because I know that he has been doing this journey for the last so many years, and he is a wise man.
Yeah.
And that's why he's lived it, he's experienced it, he's done that, he's been there, and he knows it. That's why when he gives me advice, I listen to it. And that's why for each and every one of us, for us to follow God, firstly, we have to begin to trust him. Proverbs chapter 6 verses, sorry, Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 makes it very clear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I was having a conversation with Steve about faith a few months ago, and Steve gave me a wonderful definition, and I'm going to use that definition today. Faith. We talk about faith, don't we? And everyone has different explanations in terms of what faith means. But I really liked what Steve said to me. He said, faith is forsaking all, I trust him. See, forsaking all, I trust him.
Yeah.
F stands for forsaking, A stands for all, I stands for I, T stands for trust, H stands for him. Forsaking all, I trust him. And that's exactly what Abraham did here. He's forsaking everything. He's forsaking his all understanding.
Yeah.
And that's what Noah is doing here as well. Noah has this understanding of who God is and how God functions and how God operates. Okay, but when he hears the voice of the Lord saying to him, listen, this is what is going to happen, and I wanted to prepare an ark, he obeys straight away. So when he's obeying what he's doing, he's forsaken all of his understanding. He's forsaken all of his knowledge. He's forsaken all of his experiences. And now he's trusting him. Same with Abraham. Abraham had one understanding of what the future was going to look like for him. But what he did, he forsook everything. And he began to trust him. And because he began to trust him, the scripture says that he went even though he did not know where he was going.
Yeah.
And each and every one of us, we might be in different seasons of our lives. Some of us, we might be in a very prosperous season. Some of us, we feel like we might be going through a famine, but I want to say this, there is favor in the famine.
Amen.
Yeah. You might feel like your whole world is falling apart. You might feel like, oh, do you know, nothing's happening in my life. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? But I want to say to you, you don't understand the purpose of God. You don't understand the process of God. I don't understand sometimes the process of God. I don't understand why I'm having to go through some of the tough seasons in my life. I don't. And sometimes, let me be completely honest, I question God. I'm like, God, what are you trying to teach me? God, what are you trying to do with me? But it is in them seasons that I see the hand of God providing for me. It is in them seasons I see the impossible being made possible. It is in them seasons I see the hand of God move more powerfully than any other seasons.
Yeah.
God is in the famine.
Hallelujah.
What you might think is a famine is actually a favor.
Mm-hmm.
God is about to open the doors of heaven and pour his favor in your life. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him, Abraham said. Forsaking all, I trust him, Noah said. And they both began to follow God. Thirdly, so we looked at faith comes by hearing the word of God. We looked at faith comes by trusting in the word of God. Now, thirdly, and this is very practical, faith comes by walking in the word of God. Faith comes by walking in the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, same chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 and 19 says this. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. He embraced the promises of God. You know, he obeyed God. He has been obeying God for all these years. He's been very faithful to God. And now God is saying to him, listen, give me your son. And all of a sudden, you can just imagine, you can picture yourself on shoes of Abraham and begin to think, like, hold on, God, what's wrong? Like, this is the only thing I've got. I've been praying for this son for so many years. You've given me and now you want it. Ask me, what are you doing, God? Like, this is, I love my son. What are you doing? But then I love what the scripture says. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. And verse 18 says, even though God has said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Okay? Verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from dead. Isn't that amazing? See, God knows each and every one of our hearts. He knows who we love the most. See, we have this saying, haven't we? We are what we think. But when we actually look deeper into this whole understanding of we are what we think, the Bible has a completely different description in some ways. Yes, we are what we think, but most importantly, we are what we love.
Mm-hmm.
See? We are what we love. Thinking will only change some areas of our lives, but it is ultimately who we love and what we love determines what we do. See, if I love money, I will run after money. See, if I love things of the world, I will run after the things of the world. See, if I love gambling and other things, I will run after those things. See, whatever I love, I will run after. Likewise, when God was putting this thing in Abraham's life And when God was testing him, God was actually seeing who he loves the most.
Mm.
His son or his God.
Mm.
And it's just, that's a very challenging thought really, isn't it? Who do I love the most? Yes, we think that we love God, but do we really love God more than our family? Do you know, I declare with my mouth, I love God. But I also love my wife. You know, so who do I love the most? Because wherever my love is, I will run after that.
Yeah.
So when Jesus was preaching the message of the gospel, when Jesus was preaching salvation, when Jesus was preaching the transforming gospel, we see that all these religious leaders surrounded Jesus wherever Jesus preached. And in one account, Jesus, it says in the Bible, Jesus, knowing what was in the hearts of these leaders, questions them. You know? And that's the case for each and every one of us. Jesus, knowing what our hearts long for, questions to each and every one of us today. Do you love me? Jesus asked the same question to Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I do, Lord. And Jesus asked him the question again, do you love me? Yes, I do, Jesus, I love you. And again, Jesus asks him, do you love me? The reason why Jesus is doing that is because Jesus is unraveling the heart of Peter and bringing out everything that was in his heart until he got to a point where he completely forsook everything and he began to place his love on Jesus. And that's the case for each and every one of us as well. Jesus knows our heart for each and every one of us. And that's a very challenging question for each and every one of us. We say, we love you, Lord. But do we really love him wholeheartedly? We say, God, I trust you. But do we really trust him, forsaking everything? We say, God, I'm very attentive to your voice. God, I long to serve you. But when everything's stripped away from our life, do we really will serve him wholeheartedly? It's a very challenging thought really, that, isn't it? But that was the case for Abraham here. Abraham is now in a predicament. He's like, it's either God or my son. What do I do? It's either God or the promise that he's given me. What do I do? It was very challenging for him. But in that moment, in that history-making moment, Abraham chooses God over his son.
Yeah.
And that is the picture of the gospel as well. In that historic moment of crucifixion, God chose you and me over his son, Jesus. That's a very powerful picture. God chose each and every one of us over his son, Jesus. Because God loved the world so much so that he gave his one and only son for each and every one of us. So was the case for Abraham as well. God, Abraham so loved God that he was ready to give up what he had in his hands. But when we get to scripture, we see that the case was different. When Abraham took the son and he was about to offer his son as a sacrifice, God provided a sacrifice
for him.
And right now, for each and every one of us, what seems like a test or whatever it is that you might be going through, whatever it is that we might be going through, let us understand that whatever we go through, God has a plan.
Yeah.
God has a plan. Everything that comes our way, sometimes, or should I say most of the times, is the doings of God sometimes. Because he is wanting to increase our faith, because he is wanting us to forsake everything so that we'll begin to trust him more. See, now I've just come to a point in my journey. I'm learning every day, you know, and now I'm beginning to understand that faith is not about what I do. Faith is about what God can do.
Amen.
See, so many times I base my level of faith on the basis of how much faith I have. But the scripture is very clear. If we have even faith as small as mustard seed, we can say to the mountains, move, and the mountains will move.
Yeah.
And in the chapter of Hebrews 11, what the author is trying to teach us and show us is that it was God from the very beginning who made the impossible possible. It wasn't the doings of these people. Yes, some of it was, but in the end, it was actually God who moved the mountains for them. It was actually God who provided for them.
Yeah.
And so in our case, at this present moment, we think that we can do this, we think that we can do that. But ultimately, what we have in our hands is not our achievement. It's God's achievement.
Mm-hmm.
What God has fulfilled through us and what God has achieved through our lives. See, we don't base our salvation on the basis of what we can do and how much we've achieved in our lives. It is all about Jesus. It has always been about Jesus. It was always about Jesus. It will always be about Jesus. For me, I'm only a vessel God is using for His glory. Each and every one of us, we are vessels for God's glory. And when we bring back to verse chapter 12, we see, therefore, since we are surrounded by great cloud of witnesses, therefore, we are surrounded by all these great men of faith, let us throw aside everything that hinders. In other words, let us throw aside every doubt, okay? Everything that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance.
Amen.
See, Noah ran with perseverance. Abraham ran with perseverance. All these great people of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 ran with perseverance. And so should be the case for each and every one of us. Let us run with perseverance. Let us not give up. Let us not quit. It's time for church to rise up. It's time for each and every one of us to understand our authority that is in Christ Jesus. I'm not backing down right now, no. The church is not backing down, no.
Amen.
The church is rising up, amen.
Amen.
Church is in Doncaster is rising up,
amen,
to take its proper place.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, excuse me, and it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Yes, we need to have vision. Yes, we need to work with perseverance. But let's not take our eyes off Jesus. Let's continue to fix our eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Because He is the pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of our faith, and He's
Amen.
Also the perfecter
yeah.
of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. May God bless
Amen.
You, each and every one of you. And I just pray that as we continue to run this race, let us not take our eyes off Jesus. Let us not be distracted. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not be disheartened, because whatever season we might be going
mm-hmm.
through right now, this is only a season.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons come and go, but the Word of God remains forever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And His promises to each and every one of us are still the same, regardless of whatever the season. Amen. Praise God.